Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are doing Parashah number 9, Vayeshev. Thank you, Tamar. And Tamar will be doing the drash, and it's a good one, so we can look forward to that. And bless you all. Thank you for being with us. I think it's probably time. Shall we stand and sing? It is Shabbat.
Come on. north of the north. Come and go up to the mountain, we will be just the same. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the north.
Washed away, the blood of the fire. upon you.
Holy, holy.
Adonai Elohecha, the whole of our heart. ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך ואהבת את אדוני אלוהיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך.
For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity. The Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Elohim. Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Vayet.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah our Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, v'kol levavcha u'v'kol nafshecha u'v'kol me'odecha. And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, Love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are depending on these two mitzvot. Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeshua the Messiah.
He is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. Not many in the room today, but bless you all for coming and welcome to all of those watching live stream. I know we've got a few away sick today. So first of all, to Kathy in California, welcome to you. Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad Tobago, also welcome to you. To Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, and Michael from Florida and your family, welcome to you. In Australia, we've got Heather from Perth. South Australia, Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana, family, Jan and Betty are watching to my knowledge. Also to Katrina in Port Pirie, welcome to you. To Lucia in Victoria, Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega, bless you all. Also to Jan in Sydney, to Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino. And a special welcome to Ivy, Rachel, Malachi, Micah and Gabriel in Zambia. We miss you guys in Balambal, so close to the border and still locked out. Welcome to Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia in Queensland, to Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna in Sandstone Point, Hinani in Sandor and Fernvale, Sherelle Collin from Maidenwell, and to Vivian, Diane and Daniel in Scarborough. Melody, welcome to you in Sandgate. Thank you for your blessings this morning. To Joe, Lonya, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga, to Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, Lucia, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, to Don in Canubia, to Kelly and Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter in Logan, to Shana and Michaela in Zimboomba, to Tracy in Upper Coomera, to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella. Get well, all of you. We don't need you sick. We miss you. To Naomi at Oxenford, to Beryl, I'm not too sure whether she's watching, but she's in Perth at the moment, and she'll be there till January. So to Jeff at Service Paradise, Marianne, Faye, Carol, Erica, Melissa, Lisa, Joy and Raywin here on the Gold Coast, welcome to each and every one of you. Oh, also to Shirley and to Matthew, now welcome to you, and please... young people, will you pray for Matthew? He's got the chicken pox. And that's why they're not here today. So when you get together in your group outside, if you'll all pray for Matthew, that would be great. So if we have the children out now to pray for them, please. Oh, and welcome to Tammy. Sorry, Tammy. You get well too, my darling. So many sick people at the moment. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you make the boys like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah. They'll be blessed in every area of their lives. They'll delight in your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of Ahash Elohim. Blessed are you, Yod of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you, children, and there's stuff on the table there for those that need it. Now, we've heard from the orphans in Myanmar again this week, and they send some beautiful photos. They're always clean and well-dressed and praying fervently and doing all those things, but they are in dire straits. So I'm going to read you the letter that I got from them this week. And it says, greetings in Yeshua's name. I hope you are doing well and the community is blessed by the grace of the Almighty. I hope you are praying for us, and I do hope you are praying for them daily. Our situation here is really bad. Violence and civil war is going on in our location and we are really scared. We dare not go out. We hide at home day and night. We shut the door and gate. Orphans are also terrified and sometimes hiding at toilet for fear of bullet and bomb. Right now my little son Joshua is sick with cough and fever. We do not have money for medication and we pray for Yehovah's healing for them. Orphans are better this morning, but my son Joshua is still serious. We do not have a good sleep for 5 nights as baby Joshua is crying at night for nose block. So I'm not too sure how serious he is when it just says nose block. I humbly request you pray for us and can you to stand with us as we are in desperate need. Thank you for your wonderful support and love. Shabbat Shalom, Pastor John. So the insurgents has come into their area and the fighting is going on around them and they're all locked in the orphanage at the moment. We can only pray. There's not much else we can do, but please keep them in your prayers daily. Now, the first day of Hanukkah is on December the 1st, which is this week. Now, I just want to give you a little thing on Hanukkah, just so that you know exactly where we stand. The festival Hanukkah is not commanded in the Tanakh, and there is nothing inherently wrong with it, as long as you can separate fact from fiction. In biblical terms, Hanukkah would be classified as Yom Simchah, which is a day of joy. The miracle of oil story that many of you have heard and never about has never actually happened. It's a pure work of fiction invented after the temple was destroyed. It does not mention in a single source that predates the destruction of the temple. To this day, the full name of the holiday for Hanukkah, which actually means dedication, is Hanukkot HaMisbeach, which means dedication of the altar. After the Romans destroyed the altar in 70 of this current era, the rabbis invented the miracle of the oil to give a new significance to this festival. It is an 8-day festival because when Moshe dedicated Aharon and his sons as priests in the desert, the ceremony lasted 8 days, as the same applied when Shlomo dedicated the first temple that he built. It was an 8-day ceremony as well. The question is often asked, should Hanukkah be celebrated? So I'll say it again, it is not a mitzvot or a commandment. If you choose to celebrate Hanukkah, avoid the part that adds to Yah's Torah. That's all I ask. And that is the blessing over the candles, which thanks Yah for commanding us to light the candle, which is something he never commanded. And this is in violation of Deuteronomy 4:2, which says, in order to obey the mitzvot of Yehovah your Elohim, which I am giving you, do not add to what I am saying and do not subtract from it. So you can light your candles, that's not a problem. I love lighting my candles for Hanukkah. But we don't pray over the candles. The time when you light the candles is the time I love watching them burn and thanking Yah for all of the blessings that I've had throughout the year and who I am because what he has made me as I rededicate my life to Yeshua each night. So there's nothing wrong with celebrating Hanukkah. There's nothing wrong with celebrating lighting your candles. Just don't pray the prayer that says that you are commanded to do it, because that is the violation of Torah. And that applies to the Sabbath candles as well. You're never commanded to light Sabbath candles. That's not in Torah either. So we do not have a temple altar to dedicate, but we do have to make a commitment to rededicate our lives to Yeshua anew, and this is the perfect time to do it. So on the 1st of December is Hanukkah, and the 8th day is the last. So the information this week out of the letter, we've got big news for Queenslanders. The Labor government revokes most COVID restrictions. Now this is when you look at the website, and it's all in here, and it's copied straight from the website, where it says revoked, 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 revoked. Now this is straight from the website. The revoked COVID safe checklist are available for businesses to refer to. It's not for other people. It is for businesses. And there's one for restricted businesses, which is also in there. The most important thing to remember is that there are many meetings happening throughout the shires and throughout the areas of Queensland, like Logan is having a meeting tonight, Gold Coast is having theirs on the 2nd of December. There's meetings to every right throughout Queensland following, can we sit down please Josh? Come on, mate. Yipoon's initiation, and Yipoon has moved not to abide by the COVID restrictions for their businesses, be they tourist businesses out on the water, on cafes, etc. And they have decided not to abide by the COVID restrictions. And this is what all these meetings are about, that there's going to be throughout Queensland within the next couple of weeks. Some dates are still to be announced, that if you want to go along to represent your area, you can. And that is to say, we stand up against these mandates to prevent you going into a store if you're not vaccinated. You've been going into the stores right through the COVID problem. Now that it's virtually over, they're going to try and stop you doing it. But with all of the restrictions that have been lifted and revoked, the revoking gives the business the opportunity of applying to the mandates or not applying to them. That's the business's priority, but they have to have a sign on the front entrance signed by management to say that you cannot enter if you are not vaccinated. Otherwise, you can go in. But they've got to have this sign on the front. Checklist. Pardon?
Checklist.
It's a checklist of what they have to abide by. If it's signed at the top, it doesn't count. It's got to be signed at the bottom. When the Queen signed the constitution put out by Gough Whitlam, she signed the top of it. She didn't sign the bottom, which means it's not in effect. So we just take our example from her. So these meetings are coming up, but at this stage everything's been revoked, and I do know of a few places that will not be abiding by the mandates anyway. I will not tell them to you over the live stream, but they are available. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more coming up. So I think that's all the news we've got for you out of that today. So let's pray for Israel and for our orphans. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yahweh of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or it's Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon right through to this very day. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land. And Abba, we cry out to you for your protection of all your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people, and we know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they will live in complete security and safety. And we also know, Abba Father, that this applies to those that have chosen to, that have been dispersed into the diaspora. And we pray that you'll be with them, especially the orphans and their family in Myanmar. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, especially the orphans at this time, Abba Father, and because they live daily with terror. And Abba, we just pray that you'll be with them and protect them. Abba, we also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish. And we know from your word, Nyakeska El, that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making a 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we ask that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them. This is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be the Elohim and they will be your people. And we know that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. Abba, we pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora. And we pray for the protection, Abba, of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. And we ask that you break the power of the Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. And we pray the power of the evil one, we break the power of the evil one who will continue to work at wiping Israel off the map. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Selangor District of Myanmar. Abba, we just thank you and praise you that the children love you so much and they pray and they listen carefully to their messages each Shabbat. We thank you, Abba, for their continued praise and worship of you, and we pray for their continued protection. Abba, you know what is going on around them at the moment, and we pray, Abba, against fear. And we know, Abba, that we're not living in that situation, but they are. But we pray that they understand that you are in control and that they can depend on you. Abba, we pray for this, all their needs to be met, be it fresh food, water, clothing, education, both spiritual and academic. And Abba, you know their needs and their situation, as well as the situation in their country. We pray healing for Pastor John's little Joshua, and we pray, Abba Father, for normalcy return for their country very soon. We ask that you will be with them to nurture and protect them, especially during this military lockdown. And Abba, we just pray that you'll give them the assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper and that you are in complete control. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So as Malachi said, we are reading from Parasha 9, Vayeshev, which, excuse me, which is "and he settled" or "and he dwelt." We'll be reading from Bereshit, Genesis 37, chapter 37, verse 1, to chapter 40, verse 23. The Haftarah of the prophets will be read from Amos, or in English, Amos, chapter 2, verse 6, and chapter 3, verse 8. And the writing of the Ketuvah Hashlakim will only be from Acts, chapter 7, verses 9 to 16 this week. So let us pray for Yah's word. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aheh bekar banu mikal ha'amin, v'natanenu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua mashikenu ha'ol la'olam, amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universes, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Parasha Parasha 9, Vayeshev, and he settled. Bereshit 37:1-40:23. Yaakov settled in the land where his father had lived as a foreigner, the land of Canaan. Here is the history of Yaakov. When Yosef was 17 years old, he used to pastor the flock with his brothers, even though he was still a boy. Once when he was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Yosef the most of all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a long-sleeved robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they began to hate him and reached the point where they couldn't even talk with him in a civil manner. Yosef had a dream which he told his brothers, and that made them hate him all the more. He said to them, "Listen, while I tell you about this dream of mine. We were tying up bundles of wheat in the field when suddenly my bundle got up by itself and stood upright. Then your bundles came, gathered around mine, and prostrated themselves before it." His brothers retorted, "Do you truly reign over us, or being authorized, do you have authority with us?" And they hated him still more for his dreams and for what he said. And he dreamed again another dream. And he related it to his brothers and said to them, "Look again, I have dreamed a dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father too, as well as his brothers. But his father rebuked him, "What is this dream you have had? Do you really expect me, your mother, and your brothers to come and prostrate ourselves before you on the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. After this, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's sheep in Shechem, Israel asked Yosef, "Aren't your brothers pasturing the sheep in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now. See whether things are going well with your brothers and with the sheep, and bring word back to me." So he sent him away from the Hebron Valley, and he went to Shechem, where a man found him wandering around in the countryside. The man asked him, "What are you looking for?" "I'm looking for my brothers," he answered. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the sheep?" The man said, "They've left here, because I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" Yosef went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They spotted him in the distance, and before he had arrived where they were, they had already plotted to kill him. They said to each other, "Look, this dreamer is coming, so come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the water cisterns here. Then we'll say some wild animal devoured him. We'll see then what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard this, he saved him from being destroyed by them. He said, "We shouldn't take his life." "Don't shed blood," Reuben added. "Throw him into the cistern here in the wilds, but don't lay hands on him yourselves." He intended to rescue him from them later and restore him to his father.
So it was that when Yosef arrived to be with his brothers, they stripped off his robe, the long sleeves robe he was wearing, and took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat their meal, but as they looked up, they saw in front of them a caravan of Yishmael coming from Gilead, their camels loaded with aromatic gum, healing resin, and opium, on their way down to Egypt. Yehuda said to his brothers, "What disadvantage is it to us if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim instead of putting him to death with our own hands. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brothers paid attention to him. So when the Midianim merchants passed by, they drew and lifted Yosef out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Yishmaelim, who took Yosef into Egypt. Reuben returned to the cistern, and upon seeing Yosef wasn't in it, he tore his clothes in mourning. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I go now?" They took Yosef's robe, killed a male goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent out the coat of long sheet sleeves, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. See if the see if this is your son's coat or not. He recognized it and cried, It's my son's robe. Some wild animal has torn Yosef to pieces and eaten him. Yaakov tore his clothes and put sackcloth around his waist and mourned for his son for many days. Though all of his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, he refused all consolation, saying, No, I'll go down to the grave to my son, go down to the grave to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. In Egypt, the Midianites sold Yosef to Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's officials, as captain of the guard.
It was at this time that Yehuda went off from his brothers and settled near a man named Hirah, who was an Adullami. There Yehuda saw one of the daughters of a certain Kehani, whose name was Shuah, and he took her and slept with her. She conceived and had a son, whom he named Er. She conceived again and had a son, and she called him Onan. Then she conceived yet again and had a son, whom she called Shelah. He was in Kivziv when she gave birth to him. Yehuda took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Yehuda's firstborn, was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so Yehovah killed him. Yehuda said to Onan, Go and sleep with your brother's wife. Perform the duty of a husband's brother to her, and preserve your brother's line of descent. However, Onan knew that the child would not count as his, so whenever he had intercourse with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground, so as not to give his brother offspring. What he did was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so he killed him too. Then Yehuda said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Stay a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, I don't want him to die too like his brothers. So Tamar went and lived at home with her father. In due time, Shuah's daughter, the wife of Yehuda, died. After Yehuda had been comforted, he went up to be with his sheep shearers in Timnah, he and his friend Hirah the Adullami. Tamar was told, Your father-in-law has gone up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's clothes, completely covered her face with her veil, and sat at the entrance to Er Naim, which is on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah had grown up, but she was still not being given to him as his wife. When Yehuda saw her, he thought she was a prostitute because she had covered her face. So he went over to her where she was sitting and said, Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, Come, let me sleep with you. She answered, What will you pay to sleep with me? He said, I will send you a kid from the flock of goats. She said, Will you also give me something as a guarantee until you send it? He answered, What should I give you as a guarantee? She said, Your seal with its cord and the staff you're carrying in your hand. So he gave them to her and then went and slept with her, and she conceived by him. She got up and went away, took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes. Yehuda sent the kid with his friend the Adullami to receive the guarantee items back from the woman, but he couldn't find her. He asked the people near where she had been. Where is the prostitute who was on the road at Er Naim? But they answered, There hasn't been any prostitute here. So he returned to Yehuda and said, I couldn't find her. Also the people there said, There hasn't been any prostitute here. Yehuda said, All right, let her keep the thing, so that we won't be publicly shamed. I sent the kid, but you didn't find her. About 3 months later, Yehuda was told, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been acting like a whore. Moreover, she is pregnant as a result of her prostitution. Yehuda said, Bring her out and let her be burned alive. When she was brought out, she sent this message to her father-in-law, I am pregnant by the man to whom these things belong. Determine, I beg you, who these are. The signet, the cords, and the staff. Then Yehuda acknowledged owning them. He said, She is more righteous than I, because I didn't let her become the wife of my son Shelah, and he never slept with her again. When she went into labor, it became evident that she was going to have twins. As she was in labor, one of them put out his hand, and the midwife took his hand and tied a scarlet thread on it, saying, This one came out first. But then he withdrew his hand, and his brother came out. So she said, How did you manage to break out first? Therefore he was named Peretz. Then out came his brother with the scarlet thread on his hand, and he was given the name Zerach.
Yosef was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from Yishma'elim, who had brought him there. Yehovah was with Yosef, and he became wealthy while he was in the household of his master the Egyptian. His master saw how Yehovah was with him, that Yehovah prospered everything he did. Yosef pleased him as he served him, and his master appointed him manager of his household. He entrusted all his possessions to Yosef from the time he appointed him manager of his household, and all his possessions. Yehovah blessed the Egyptian's household for Yosef's sake. Yehovah's blessing was on all that he owned, whether in the house or in the field, so that he left all his possessions in Yosef's care, and because he had him, he paid no attention to his affairs except for the food he ate. Now Yosef was well built and handsome as well.
In time the day came when his master's wife lifted up her eyes to Yosef and said, "Lie with me." But he refused, saying to his master's wife, "Look, because my master has me, he doesn't know what's going on in this house. He has put all his possessions in my charge. In this house I am his equal. He hasn't withheld anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against Elohim?" But she kept pressing him, day after day. Nevertheless, he didn't listen to her. He refused to lie with her and to be with her. However, one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men living in the house was there indoors, she grabbed him by his robe and said, "Lie with me." But he fled, leaving his robe in her hand, and got himself outside. When she saw that he had left his robe in her hand and had escaped, she called the man of the house and said to them, "Look at this. My husband brought in a Hebrew to make fools of us. He came in and wanted to lie with me, but I yelled out loudly. When he heard me yelling like that, he left his robe with me and ran out." She put the robe aside until his master came home. Then she said to him, "This Hebrew slave you brought us came in to make a fool of me. But when I yelled out, he left his robe with me and fled outside. When his master heard what his wife said as she showed him, "Here's what your slave did to me," he became furious. Yosef's master took him and put him in prison in the place where the king's prisoners were kept. And there he was in the prison. But Yehovah was with Yosef, showing him grace and giving him favor in the sight of the prison warden. The prison warden was made Yosef supervisor of all the prisoners in the prison, so that whatever they did there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything Yosef did, because Yehovah was with him, and whatever he did, Yehovah prospered. Sometime later, it came about that the Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker gave offense to the Lord, to the Lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh became angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, in the same place where Yosef was kept. The captain of the guard charged Yosef to be with them, and he became their attendant while they remained in prison. One night the two of them, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and his baker, there in prison, both had dreams. Each dream was with its own meaning. Yosef came into them in the morning and saw that they looked sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers there with him in the prison of his master's house, "Why are you looking so sad today?" They said to him, "We each had a dream, and there is no one around who can interpret it." Yosef said to them, "Don't interpretation belong to Elohim? Tell it to me, please." Then the chief cupbearer told Yosef his dream. "In my dream, in front of me was a vine, and the vine had three branches. The branches budded, then it suddenly began to blossom, and finally clusters of ripe grapes appeared. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup to Pharaoh." Yosef said to him, "Here is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. But remember me when it goes well with you, and show me kindness, please, and mention me to Pharaoh, so that he will release me from this prison. For the truth is that I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and here too I have done nothing wrong that would justify putting me in this dungeon." When the chief cupbearer saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Yosef, "I too saw in my dream there were three baskets of white bread on my head. In the uppermost basket there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds ate them out of the basket of my head. Yosef answered, "Here is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you. He will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you."
On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a party for all his officials, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer back to his position, so that he again gave Pharaoh his cup, but he hanged the chief baker, as Yosef had interpreted to them. Nevertheless, the chief cupbearer didn't remember Yosef, but forgot him. Haftarah, Vavashev, Amos, chapter 2, verse 6 to chapter 3, verse 8. This is what Yehovah says: "For Israel's three crimes, no four, I will not reverse it. Because they sell the upright for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes, grinding the heads of the poor in the dust and pushing the lowly out of the way. Father and son sleep with the same girl, profaning my holy name. Lying down beside any altar on clothes taken in pledge, drinking wine in the house of their Elohim, bought with fines they impose. I destroyed the Emori before them, though tall as cedars and strong as oaks. I destroyed their fruit above and their root below. More than that, I brought you up from Egypt, led you 40 years in the desert, so that you could have the Emori's land. I raised up some of your sons to be prophets, other young men of yours to be Netzarim. People of Israel, isn't that true?" asked Yehovah. "But you gave the Netzarim wine to drink and ordered the prophets don't prophesy. Enough, I will make all this crush you, just as a cart overloaded with grain crushes what's under it. Even the swift won't be able to flee, the strong won't be able to use their strength. The warriors won't save themselves. Archers won't be able to stand. The fastest runners won't save themselves. Those on horses won't save themselves. On that day, even the bravest warriors will throw off their weapons and flee," says Yehovah. Listen to this word which Jehovah has spoken against you, people of Israel, against the entire family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. Of all the families on earth, only you have I intimately known. This is why I will punish you for all your crimes. Do two people travel together without having so agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion growl in its lair if it has caught nothing? Does a bird get caught in a trap on the ground if it hasn't been baited? Does a trap spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? When the shofar is blown in the city, don't the people tremble? Can disaster befall a city without Yehovah's having done it? Yehovah Elohim does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? Yehovah Elohim has spoken, who will not prophesy?
Acts 7:9-16. Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Yosef and sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Yehovah was with him. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all his household. Now there became a famine that caused much suffering throughout Egypt and Canaan. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. The second time Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, and Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. Yosef then sent for his father Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people, and Yaakov went down to Egypt. There he died, as did our fathers. And he was moved to Shechem and placed in a tomb, which Abraham had brought with silver from the sons of Hamor.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech ha'olam, Hashem natan lanu Torah amet v'chayalam b'dikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah natan ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua mashikenu ha'ola olam amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. It's the beginning of a wonderful story from Torah today, and we will continue it next week. But it's a story that shows that rejection is part of our lives. And that's what I want to speak on today. I want to speak on how to handle rejection, because we live in a world at the moment where many people are being rejected for many reasons, whether it's their workplace, whether it's their whatever it is, and there's more rejections coming up for people if you haven't followed what the government wants you to obey. And when we observe Torah, it tells us not to obey governments, but to obey Yah. And even with the religious exemptions, there's no answer as to whether they've been acknowledged or not in most cases. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today. I just pray that it will be received in the way I felt that it needed to be given. And Abba, we just thank you and praise you that you find a way out of all things for us. And we just give you this word. We ask that it'll be received in grace and give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Wrong one. Right, so what I've titled my message is A Talent for Handling Rejection. We read how Yosef was the youngest of all his brothers. He was favoured by his father,
but rejected by his brothers. And as I said, many of us are going through rejection at the moment because of government mandates and even through families, where some have received it, some haven't. And all I can say is that praise ye are that the mandates have been revoked for places of worship, restaurants and retail, and a whole lot more when the state is to be opened in December. But it is still in place when it comes to the health industry, to the hospitals, to the nursing homes and to the disability workers. But these mandates that they've revoked are only being revoked if the business owners want to revoke them. They don't have to revoke them. They can abide by them or they can disregard them, according to the website. So today my aim is to encourage you to stay strong in your faith, trust Yah, and believe with all your heart that we will come through this victorious. The protests around Australia last Shabbat have helped, and I believe they are expecting bigger responses today. In Melbourne, they are expecting 1 million people today to turn up at that protest alone. I'm not too sure what they're expecting in Sydney, but they have received, before it even started, there was a lot of people there and a concert going on for those that were there early. There's also, not only that, but city councils all throughout Queensland are doing the same as what Yeppoon did, and they passed an order in the city council that they will not be abiding by the mandated closures for unvaccinated, for the tourist industry, for the cafes, etc. in Yeppoon. And all through Queensland there are meetings being held that people can vote for this within the council. So let us move on and let's go to the scriptures for today from Bereshit 37 verses 3 to 11. Now Israel loved Yosef the most of all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a long-sleeved robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they began to hate him and reached to the point where they couldn't even talk with him in a civil manner. Yosef had a dream which he told his brothers, and that made them hate him all the more. He said to them, "Listen while I tell you about this dream of mine. We were tying up bundles of wheat in the field when suddenly my bundle got up by itself and stood right up. Then your bundles came and gathered around mine and prostrated themselves before it." His brothers retorted, "Yes, you will certainly be our king, and you'll do a great job bossing us around." And they hated him still more for his dreams and for what he said. He had another dream which told his brothers that, "Here I had another dream, and there were the sun, the moon, and 11 stars prostrating themselves before me." He told his father too, as well as his brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What is this dream you had? Do you really expect me, your mother, and your brothers to come and prostrate ourselves before you on the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Of all the difficulties in life, I suppose there is none harder to cope with than rejection. And when we look, as I said, it's what's happening at the moment. We had been free to work, go to restaurants, free to come to shul, all throughout the COVID pandemic. But now that they have the so-called vaccine, and because of the government mandates, many are being rejected to partake in normal work life. What the government is doing is rejecting those that cannot, for health, religious or personal reasons, take the jab. It's segregating them into an apartheid type system, and families are doing it to family members as well. People are being treated like lepers of the biblical days. If you live your life in an effort to please others, you will find that you and rejection are closer friends than you ever desired to become. It's not a matter of choice, only of timing. You will experience rejection. If you're going to live for Yehovah and live according to his word, you must develop a talent for handling rejection. When I began to study this subject, some things became very clear to me, and one of which is this. If you are going to seek the favour and the anointing of Yehovah's power on your life, you are opening yourself up to pain, sorrow and rejection. Many would have noticed this already, especially when you start observing Shabbat and coming and observing the Torah and coming to Shabbat services with the loss of Christian friends. They can't understand why you no longer want to visit them on Christmas Day. And they do this out of ignorance, when in fact you are moving into a deeper relationship with Yah than you have ever experienced before. This is not to say that we should not seek Yehovah's favour, for his favour is the only thing that will make our lives complete. But prepare yourself, because you are going to suffer rejection. So let us just look at Yosef's story. His father Yaakov loved him more than all of the other children. He was a child of Yaakov's old age, so he was probably proud that he could still produce children when Yosef was born. He doted over Yosef. Everywhere he went, Yosef was with him. He was given the first choice of all good things. He was blessed with favour. His father loved him so much that he made him a long-sleeved robe. And that's what it says in the Hebrew text, not a coat of many colours as we learn in the English text. Yaakov did this for Yosef just to be a testament of his love for the boy. But his brothers hated him for the very same reason. In fact, the scriptures say they could not talk peaceably to one another. Shouting matches, shutting, scuffling, and went on continually. We see this within our own households with just a few children, let alone 13 plus children. And I say 13 plus because we know that Yaakov had 12 sons and a daughter, Dinah. But when we read today that when Yaakov heard that Yosef had died, it says he and his daughters, it was plural daughters. We don't know how many daughters there were. And so there would obviously be far more than 13 children. And in the midst of all this, Yehovah's favour began to be evidenced. Not only was Yosef Yaakov's favourite, but it was obvious that Yah was going to do something great through this young man. He began to dream of reigning and ruling. He recognised that he would lead one day his family. And Yosef, of course, told his brothers his dreams, and their hatred grew, and their hatred became rejection. I believe that family rejection is what can cause people to turn to Yah. I know it did in my case. I won't go into my story as it goes back to birth and continues to some extent to this day. And I was only one of five siblings. And this is not to say we should not seek Yehovah's favour, for his favour is the only thing that will make our life complete. What happened there? Went too far. Yosef was rejected, and then he had more dreams, of which not only his brothers but his father as well. More dreams, more hatred, and more rejection. Yaakov has him go and check on his brothers. In Bereshit chapter 37, verses 12 to 14, it says, after this, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's sheep in Shechem, Israel asked Yosef, aren't your brothers pasturing the sheep in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. He answered, here I am. He said to him, "Go now, see whether these things are going well with your brothers and with the sheep, and bring word back to me." So he sent him away from Hebron Valley, and he sent him to Shechem. So you know how the story goes. His brothers saw him a long way off and started how to scheme how they could get rid of him. And they said, "Well, we can't kill him. It will break our father's heart." So just like Hasatan, they were wanting to destroy but pretending not to hurt anyone. And there is no difference to the agenda and the mantra of the demonic powers of today's governments worldwide. Take the jab to protect yourself and to protect others. They know that they are slowly killing those who take it, but still demanding that boosters are needed. We all know what Joseph's brothers do to him. They throw him in the pit, then sell him off to slave traders. Not only do they sell him, but they deceive their father into believing he is dead. Joseph, as a slave, has favour once again. But then also, he suffers rejection again. Joseph has a talent. He's obviously got a talent to make people see that he is responsible, that he can be used in so many areas. In Bereshit chapter 39, we read how Joseph prospered in the house of Potiphar, who was an official of Pharaoh. In no time he is elevated to a position of authority and became leader of the servants, and all his master's possessions were entrusted to him. He was shown favour above all the previous trusted slaves. Then Potiphar's wife comes into the picture. She pursues him, she tries seducing him, being provocative towards him, and so in fleeing from her, he leaves his coat in her hands. She is so angry that he turned her down. She lied about what happened. Once again, rejection comes along, and Joseph is sent to prison. In Bereshit 39:21-23, it says, "But Yehovah was with Yosef, showing him grace and giving him favour in the sight of the prison warden. The prison warden made Yosef supervisor of all the prisoners in the prison, so that whatever they did there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything Yosef did because Yehovah was with him, and whatever he did, Yehovah prospered." So still more rejection for Yosef, but he's still prospering. There was something about him that caused them to elevate him very quickly. And he had years of his life spent in prison for no reason. We need to remember that all of this happened when he was still only a teenager, but he was still being blessed. He suffered rejection after rejection. Most young people today, as teenagers, would cave under all of this. Suicide rates in the past 2 years under COVID have been exceedingly high in Joseph's age group. Joseph did not do anything out of the ordinary. He just had the favour of Yehovah on his life. He did not ask for position. He did not ask to be elevated or blessed. Yet the blessings came despite the rejection. We are going to have experienced some days of heartache, trial and confusion, merely because we are living for Yehovah and refuse to bow down to the coercion or mandates of the world governments. And this isn't easy. We have to be strong. It won't be easy as the years go by. But we do have to do it, and do it together. We do have the favour of Yehovah. We are here for you, just as you are here for us. And Malachi and I truly appreciate you. But you are going to need to have a talent for handling rejection. And we can only do that when we've got each other. When you're feeling rejected, you ring someone up. You contact them. When things are going wrong and things aren't going as you'd hoped, let us know so we can pray with you. We are here for you. I believe the biggest lesson that we have to learn from Yosef is that through it all, Yosef refused to become bitter or angry. I learned over many years of rejection I could change one letter of bitter and make it better. That wasn't my choice. That was my choice. I was going to overcome and be better to those who rejected me. There was no way they were going to see my pain. I was going to stand in front of them and let them see that it didn't matter what they said, it didn't matter what they did, it wasn't going to affect me. Mind you, inside it did. But outside, there was no way I would let them see it. I don't have time to tell you my story today, but we do know from reading the Torah year after year that in the end, Yosef was able to confess to the same brothers that rejected him, that what they meant for evil, Yehovah had intended for good, of which I've previously written a message about. Yes, the rejection of men is painful, we can't deny that. But Yehovah can take their evil and make it good for you. And we have to remember that. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what is happening at the moment to us in our lives. Yah is going to turn it for good. I have no doubt on that. King David is another example. He is also the youngest, or the little brother, the eighth child of eight male brothers. The one that got stuck with the bad chores. We know he is the son of Yishai, but we do not know who his mother is, which leads us to believe that he had a different mother to his brothers and is the reason for his rejection. David speaks in the Tehillim or Psalms as being the son of a servant girl. David was sent to the back pastures to tend his daddy's sheep. His brothers thought they were doing themselves a favour, but in fact they were doing David a favour. Their rejection led him to a place of solitude and worship, which was similar to my own story. Sitting on the hillside, he would sing and praise his Creator. Songs of praise came to him as naturally as the ability to breathe. We have proof of this through so many of the Psalms or Tehillim that were written by him. In that place of rejection, David learned that the skills that would guide him through the most difficult days of his life. And there is something that happens to a man or a woman's life when they are put into a place of rejection. They learn life skills to cope. David was able to kill a lion and a bear. They are not normal life skills for a shepherd boy. Then the time came for a new king to be anointed, in Shamuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel 16, 10-13. It says, Yishai presented seven of his sons to Shemuel, and Shemuel told Yishai, Yehovah has not chosen these. Are all your sons here? Shemuel asked Yishai. He replied, there's still the youngest. He's out there tending the sheep. Shemuel said to Yishai, send and bring him back, because we won't sit down to eat until he gets here. He sent and brought him in. With ruddy cheeks, red hair and bright eyes, he was a good-looking fellow. Something like Yosef, I think. Yehovah said, stand up and anoint him. He's the one. Shemuel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in his brother's presence. And from that day on, the Ruach of Yehovah would fall upon David with power. So Shemuel set out and went to Ramah. That place on the backside of the hill may have been a rejection to begin with, but it became a place of worship and audience with Yehovah, a place that led him into the favour and the anointing of Yehovah. And as I said, I've learnt many things over the years of going through the school of hard knocks of rejection, but I think the best thing I have learnt is don't get bitter. All we need to do is take the I out of bitter and put an E in its place. It is the difference of changing one vowel for another. We have to use the rejection of men to draw us closer to Yehovah. He has a purpose for your rejection and an anointing for you. David is given the same directions as Yosef when told by his father, go check on your brothers. It's amazing that they're given the same instructions. In Shamuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 to 18, it says, David went back and forth from Sheol to pasture his father's sheep at Beit Lechem. Meanwhile, the Philistine approached with his challenge every morning and evening for 40 days. Yishai said to David, his son, please take your brothers 5 bushels of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread. Hurry and carry them to your brothers at the camp. Also bring these 10 cheeses to their field officer. Find out if your brothers are well and bring back some token from them. So on his arrival in Shamuel Aleph 17:28, his brothers responded with, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what David spoke to the men, and it made Eliab angry at him. He asked, why did you come down here? With whom did you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You just came down to watch the fighting. In other words, what are you doing here? Go back home. Rejection once again. A lovely welcome to a younger brother. There was no reason for David to be there, but Yehovah had sent him to kill Goliath, or Goliath. His past experiences prepared him for this challenge. Remember, he had killed a lion and a bear, went out tending the sheep. Now Goliath is defeated. Wow, Shaul has killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. David is now elevated and exalted as a hero. Then it happened again. Rejection raises its ugly head. Shaul threw a spear at David and swore that he would kill him, so David is left fleeing for his life. He spends it in caves, hideouts, and lives like a virtual vagabond style. Yet in this time of rejection and fleeing, this anointed king with no throne penned one of the greatest statements of worship ever written. And it's from Tehillim, Psalms 34, verse 1. He says, I will bless Yehovah at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. We can learn from that one short sentence that we can bless Yehovah. It doesn't matter what our circumstances. We can praise him for the blessings that we have. We can praise him for what we do have all the time. It doesn't matter what man does to us. As long as we've got Yehovah in our heart, we can bless him at all times and praise him from our mouth. We need to develop a talent for handling rejection. And I believe that that is one of the keys of doing it. Are you praying for Yehovah to use you? Are you praying for Yah to make a place for you in his work? Are you asking Yah to help you to help others? Then you better also start asking for the ability to handle rejection. You are going to need it. I can assure you, you get a lot of it. Now let us look at Yeshua. The scripture says that there was no room at the inn. We know this is symbolic, as he was born during Sukkot, at a time when there were no hotels, no motels, no inns, and definitely no Airbnbs. The only place there was room for Yeshua was on a stake. He sought an entry into the overcrowded hearts of men, but he could not find it, and still his search and his rejection went on. Light came into the world through him, but men would not receive it, for they loved darkness more than light, as do many of this age. Yeshua's ministry was one of compassion, power, and rejection. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22, it says, "Now he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On Shabbat he went to the synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, 'The Ruach of Yehovah is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favour of Yehovah.' And after closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, he sat down and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. 'Today, as you heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled.' Everyone was speaking well of him and marvelling that such an appealing words were coming from his mouth. They were even asking, 'Can this be Yosef's son?'" Yosef and Miriam, that is. "He continued to tell them how his ministry would be rejected by his own people in Luke 4:28-30. Hearing this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town and dragged him to the edge of a cliff on which their town was built, intending to throw him off. But as he walked right through the middle of the crowd, and went away." If you've ever been to Nazareth, there's two Nazareths. There's a lower one at the bottom of the mountain, which is the Arab Nazareth, and you go right up to the top, to the cliff that they're talking about, where he could have gone right over, is the Hebrew Nazareth. And it's in the Galilee. So life is not easy. Rejection is a part of life. So let me give you a definition of true rejection. Yeshua's ministry was rejected. It is still rejected by his people to this very day. One day he's being paraded and praised through the streets on the back of a donkey. Palm branches were waving, children are dancing and parents are leaping. "Messiah Yeshua, Master," they keep calling. It is only a few hours later, the same people are demanding that his blood be upon them and their children. That is rejection. He is taken to a court, accused of blasphemy, subordination and inciting ill will against Rome. He is then turned over to a Roman rule system. He was a harmless, helping, hope-filled man, reduced to the level of a common thief. Then he is stripped of his clothing. He was tied to a post. There the soldiers began to beat his back until the flesh tore away. A crown of thorns was fashioned for his and thrust upon his scalp. The thorns pierced his flesh and tore his skull. A rod was used to beat him more. His beard was torn from his face as the soldiers spit upon him and mocked him. That is rejection. None of us have suffered like that. Don't tell me it's too hard to live for Yehovah. Don't tell me that I don't know how bad you have it. Don't tell me that you do not have any friends. If you are in this room, if you are listening online, we are your friends. That is why we are here. You have friends. They're not close to you, but we're at the end of the phone call. All you have to do is ring. Look at Yeshua. In Matthew 27:27-31, the governor's soldiers took Yeshua into the headquarters building and the whole battalion gathered around him. They stripped off his clothes, put on him a scarlet robe, wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and put a stick in his right hand. Then they kneeled down in front of him and made fun of him. "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him and used a stick to beat him about the head. And when they had finished ridiculing him, they took off the robe, put his clothes back on him, and led him away to be nailed to execution stake. Then we continue to read in Yochanan 27:35-43. After that they nailed him to the stake. They divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. Then they sat down to keep watch over him there. Above his head they placed the written notice stating the charge against him. "This is Yeshua, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were placed on execution stakes with him, one on the right hand, one on the left. People passing by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you can destroy the temple, can you, and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself if you are the son of Elohim, and come down from the stake." Likewise, the head Kohanim jeered at him, along with the Torah teachers and the elders. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. So he's King of Israel, is he? Is he? Let him come down now from the stake. Then we'll believe him. He trusted Yehovah, so let him rescue him if he wants him. After all, he did say, 'I'm the son of Yehovah.'" And Yochanan John 19:25-27. It says, "Nearby Yeshua's execution stake stood his mother, his mother's sister Miriam, the wife of Kalotha, and Miriam from Magdala. When Yeshua saw his mother and the Talmid whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, 'Mother, this is your son.' And he said to the Talmid, 'This is your mother.' And from that time on, the Talmid took her into his own home." How do you think it was that Yeshua could look into the eyes of his weeping mother and tell her, "Go home"? And also say, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." There was no room for Yeshua in the inn, as they say. In fact, there was no room for him anywhere except on the stake. As his own words tells us, he had no home of his own. In Luke 9 and verse 58, Yeshua answered him, "The foxes have holes, the birds flying have their nests, but the Son of Man has no home of his own." It's time to put the proper perspective on our walk with Yehovah and Yeshua. No matter what it is that we go through, it is worth it. It's worth it to be saved. No rejection of men will ever damn you, but rejection of Yehovah and Yeshua will. Let me finish with this last scripture, and it is a long one. It's from Messianic Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. "So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us too put aside every impediment, that is, the sin which easily hampers our forward movement, and keep running with endurance to the contest set before us, looking away to the initiator and completer of that trusting Yeshua, who in exchange for obtaining the joy set before him, endured execution on a stake as a criminal, scorning the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yehovah. Yes, think about him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you won't grow tired of becoming despondent. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in the contest against sin. We need a talent for handling rejection. We need to use Yeshua as our guide. Our dependence is on him and what he has done to give us through our salvation and giving us eternal life. We have nothing to fear when we depend on him. Rejection can do nothing to us. So that's all I've got to say, and I pray that you can not just receive that, but receive Yeshua in a way that knowing it doesn't matter what happens, he is there for us. I know the least thing that can happen to us is that, and I've said it before, the gulag could come and take me and I can die. Put me in a gulag because I won't take the jab, and I'll die in it because I can't get my medication or I can't get whatever. But I'll go to be with Yeshua. My death will not be anything like his. I'm sure of that. No one has suffered rejection like he has suffered. And it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But if we stick together, if we hold close to each other, we are family. Each and every one of us. Online, no matter where in the world you might be, listening to it now or listening to it later on, or in this room. We are family. And we stick together. Our blood families can reject us. And maybe many have. But that doesn't matter. Our strength and our faith is in Yehovah and what his son Yeshua did for us. So has anyone got any questions? Nope. We'll move on to the remembrance service. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their people. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Zevaot is with us, our fortress, the way of earth.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam HaMotzeh Lachem Min HaAretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Zevaot, oh happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
Cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Mini Besemim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
Yeah, can we have Hannah and Rachel and Shab and no Shana, so anyone else who'd like to get Josh there to give a hand? As he knows, not the mic, please. I got the mic. As you know, we don't take an offering, so if you'd like to make an offering into the offering box at the back, we'd greatly appreciate it, as we'd like to be able to send some more money to the orphanage as well, because they are saying they've got no money for medication. So that helps with that as well. And I'm sure Yah will bless you abundantly. Thank you. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that we can look to Yosef, to King David, and to Yeshua, who've taught us how to handle rejection. And Abba, no one's handled rejection more than Yeshua, who laid down his life for us. We take these emblems, this bread and this wine, that represent his body and his blood, knowing that not only was he rejected by men, but he laid down his life to give us eternity with him. Abba, we are blessed. And we just thank you so much for allowing your son to do that. Because that also was a sacrifice for you. And Abba, we take these memories now in remembrance of everything he's done. And we give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Let's eat and drink together. Malachi will now come and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I will repeat it in English.
Yevarakakah, Yehovah Yishmarika, Ye'er Yehovah Panavaleka, V'yikvaneka, Yisa Yehovah Panavaleka, V'yasamaka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement, and like the fragrance of the besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Doesn't she give a good message? So good. Thank you, babe.
My pleasure.
I'm just finding my reminders. I was having a look at the BakeGanEden online newsletter, and for any of you that have gone there, and I've often said the links become live, And it's live if you click on the download button, and then it will open the PDF file on screen. Any web browser will open up that. So if you click on the download file, there is on the actual page for the newsletter, there is a display of the newsletter. It's put there by Scribbit is the name of the organisation, and Scribbit has an inability to process a link in the newsletter if it's an HTTP type link. I think if they're all done with triple W's, maybe they'd work. So there's about the only one that works within the context of Scribbit is just the one on the front page. However, if you open by clicking on the download button for the whichever newsletter you happen to be wanting to look at, that will open up the newsletter on screen in a PDF file, and then all of the links become live. The video links, all of that sort of thing, become live if you click on that. And if you want to download it and have it for future reference or something like that, well then you can certainly, in that particular window, once it's opened as a PDF in the web browser, then you can choose to print it or save it to disk. So I just thought I'd bring you up to speed with that, because I wasn't aware that Scribbit would not provide the all the links as operational. It's actually an image file, and they've sort of somehow or other automatically tagged
some of them. Image file is over the head of some people.
Pardon?
Image file is over the head of some people.
An image file. Yes, maybe that's true. Okay, it's like they just took photographs of the website or of each page, and they put it up, and you can't, for example, select any of the text. Whereas I believe in the PDF file you can select text and copy it and that sort of thing. So an image file is literally an image of text.
Like a photograph.
Okay. Like a photo. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Okay, Shavu, Tov, have a great week. Now we've got an hour. You don't have to rush out in a hurry. So time for coffee or chat. And please don't hesitate to ring if you need prayer. Thank you, my darling.
I'd like to share one other thing just before we bring up that. I've been busy making the chlorine dioxide solution and trying to perfect it and doing reasonably well. I was trying to get a good description of it. I'll let someone here today taste it. And the comment was it tastes like tap water. And yet it was made from reverse osmosis water, which has got, so the chlorine dioxide, there's a sort of a hint of chlorine there. In fact, a lot of urban areas use chlorine dioxide to purify their water supplies. And when there was the HIV problem with the blood supplies, where they had HIV virus in the blood, chlorine dioxide is what they use because it doesn't harm the blood, but it kills the HIV virus and any other virus that happens to it encounters. And so if you're drinking it, it moves through the bloodstream after it's absorbed, and any viruses that it finds that are not supposed to be there, it zaps them. It actually burns them. It's an oxidation process, which is what fire is. So it oxidizes them and has amazing effects. I don't know if any of you saw it, but one of the videos that I'd linked to in the newsletter a few weeks ago, and it was the one on the universal antidote, because that's what chlorine dioxide is. It was actually citing, I think it was 133 autistic children that were completely healed solely by using the chlorine dioxide and having them drink it. And there are various dose rates, and there's a whole swag of things of what's
it
available.
It takes a while, though, to perfect the mixture. Because he's on his third batch and still hasn't perfected it. So, you know, it's not something... it's like chemicals. You don't play with it if you don't know what you're doing. Where he's got a degree
in science.
But he's also got a degree in science. So,
sorry.
So, yeah. That helps a bit, where it's zoom over my head.
Yes, and the difficulty was actually tied up with getting the ratios right, in that you can get ratios and you can get volume of volume, like how many millilitres in a litre, or you can get weight in a litre. That's considered like how many grams of something in a litre. When I bought the hydrochloric acid, which is
used,
don't
get too much, honey.
It was grams per litre. And when you switch from grams per litre and you're dealing within volumes, you've got to have it depends on how heavy or the mass or the specific gravity of that. So to get the ratios, and I like to get them right.
He does,
it brings in a few other things. So
he'll
my first
work it
ones
out for you. He'll work it out. When he's perfected it, he'll let you know what to do. That's what I'm trying to say. That's enough. You get confused.